We're in chapter 11 of Numbers. If you would turn there in your Bibles, on your phones, iPads, computers, whatever you got, memorized it, that would be fine too. It's a longer chapter. I'm going to skim it a little bit with you, but you're able to read it all. And I liked the whole chapter, and the text was most of the whole chapter, so it goes this. The setting is about a year and a half after the children of Israel have been out among, basically from Sinai now. So they're walking a distance from Mount Sinai. And it says this. I'm going to start at verse 4 for you. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat." They wailed better than that. But we remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. The manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. The people went around gathering it and then ground it in a handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into cakes, and it tasted something like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on me, on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised them on oath, to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They will keep wailing to me. Give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, then do not let me face my own ruin." The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 Israel elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, 'If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt.' Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. And you will not eat it just for one day, or 2 days, for 5 or 10 or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nose and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and you have wailed before him saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?' But Moses said, 'Here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, that will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them?' The Lord answered Moses, 'Is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true to you for you.' So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him. And he took of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit of the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, 'Bildad and Medad are prophesying in the camp.' Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. And the rest of it is the fulfilling of the promise of all the meat. And you can read that on your own, if you would. Got a text out of the book of James, if you notice up there, James chapter 5. Fits pretty well with what we're talking about back here. Starting at verse 1. "Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth is rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you have failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fatted yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient. Stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we considered blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Here ends the reading. I'd like to invite kids to come down, if you would. Come on down. Here we go. Got seats right up front. I think I'll fire this mic up. Hopefully without spilling any coffee. Good morning. It's so good to see you guys. I love you all very much. You know that. You make my day. I got a wonderful gift last Sunday. Somebody painted or colored this for me. Her name was G-R-A-C-E. And she gave it to me and said, "Pastor, this is for you." It's one of the fun things. I've still got some of these that you or bigger people gave me when they were little. And I have those in my office and I have some of them at home because I like them so much. So thank you. You don't all have to give me pictures now or anything. How many of you come up to communion with your moms and dads? All right, I got a question for you. How come when you come by, I put my hand on your head? Why do I do that? Does anyone know why I'm doing that? Nice and loud. In two. Is this working? Good. Get it a little louder. Turn it up and adjust to their voices.
You pray for us.
Ah, good. What else do I do? Why in the world am I doing that?
To give us the Lord's blessing.
Ah, the Lord's blessings. Very good. You got another one? Anyone down here? Oh, I'm sorry. Way over here. Didn't see you. I'm sorry. Here you go.
Because you love us and you want us to be taken care of well.
Amen. Yes. Yes. I do that because I'm asking God to pour his blessing on each one of you. And today, when you come up and I put my hand on your head, and I start praying over you, I want you to remember something very special is taking place. I'm reaching up to the Lord, and the cross up here represents that. And I'm saying, Lord, I want you to give your Holy Spirit on each one of these kids that you love so very much, because who did Jesus die for on the cross? You guys. And he loves you, and you are a treasure. And you want to know something interesting? In the Bible, even little babies in their mother's tummy can receive the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Even when you were too little to know, because some of you may or may not know why I touch your head, right? But that doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't bless you, or that he doesn't watch over you, or that he doesn't want to be with you. You want to say something? Yeah, here.
Well, Levi tells my dad every day that Jesus died for him.
Excellent. That's sweet. Excellent. All right. Today my sermon's about big people getting the blessing. I don't always lay my hand on each one of their heads, do I? But I do pray for them. But the sermon today is about how God wants to give his blessing to every one of the big people, just like he gives it to the little people. And in God's kingdom, you are just as important as me or anyone else. So I want you to remember that when you come up for communion today, and I pray over you, what I'm asking God to do, to give you his Holy Spirit, to fill you with grace and encouragement, hope and peace. And I'm going to hopefully get that into all the big people's minds in my sermon. Can you remember that for me today? Wonderful. We've got a treat for you. Henry will oversee it by reaching over the chair a little bit. Thank you, brother. And you get the treat of your own for helping. Girls first. Wait,
fine.
It's okay. We won't beat them or anything. Hurry, 5, 4, 3. You're welcome. 3, 2. You're welcome. You're welcome, honey. You're welcome. Help yourself, Henry, or you can give it to your sister who's sitting right there. Because if you don't want it, I know she does. Oh, there's another little sister behind you there. She'll take one too. This is not about woe is me. This is about how difficult life really is, though. Okay? It's something I want you to understand. It's something I want you to become fully aware of and recognize. But ultimately, God was hoping that the people of Israel would master the very thing that they were in, the wilderness. It is not easy to walk in life with the uncertainties of life and the unpredictabilities of life and survive easily. I had to keep waiting until another day went by, or I couldn't do this, or I couldn't do that. That's a type of wilderness when you're not sure whether you've got something, you've got a cough that's bothersome enough that you go, it could be, it couldn't be, maybe I got it, maybe I don't. And you have a brother in the hospital who's obviously very seriously dealing with a battle with COVID. And so those uncertainties are real. That wilderness, that sense of what's coming around the corner or what's happening next is real. The difficulty is when God's people start doing the wrong things in the wilderness, God's got to deal with them. And so we've got a really fairly well-known story here with the children of Israel. It really starts at chapter 11, verse 1, where it's talked about the people are complaining about how hard things were. And they began to go through this process, and they began to understand this very thing. And so it says, the Lord's anger burned against them. This is part that I did not read to you, but the very beginning there. And it says, the Lord's fire broke out against them. And the Lord's fire can be any number of things, to a literal fire, to a lightning strike, to just the anger of the Lord on the fringes of the camp, it says. And then Moses prayed, and that was abated, and that stopped. Moses was an intercessor, you'll notice right at the beginning of this chapter. And so when the people started to whine, one of the first things they did is they went to Moses, or they took it out on Moses, and that is what happened there. In verse 4, where I started reading for you, you have to remember that the children of Israel were not all children of Israel. Okay? There's a whole number of rabble of people that came out from Egypt with them. All right? The word that I was given in the Greek, excuse me, was let me find it here, was a fascinating word. Lost it. Oh, a promiscuous group of people followed them is really what the Hebrew word is, not the Greek word. The Hebrew word was promiscuous. They were whiners, pouters. They were always on the fringe. They were doing things morally fringy the whole time. They were like bad company corrupting good morals. They were like who your friends, your children sometimes hang around with. And there's always seems to be that one person who, instead of taking them in a good direction, always wants to take them in a bad direction. Or someone who says, let's go home, and he says, no, let's do this instead in a negative way. That's this group that is among these complaining, and they feed off one another. You understand? If you get in with a group of complainers, or you find your leaders willing to complain, did I ever tell you about, you know, that's not bad, and that you hang around with those individuals, you will find your mouth becoming promiscuous. It will start spewing immoral garbage. It will start living and behaving in ways that take you in the opposite direction from where the Lord wants you to go. So into this setting, with all of this rabble, they are craving something besides what they had for the manna. Now, manna, eventually you read here, is something they collected each day. They could only collect enough for one day, otherwise it would rot. But they would collect it, they would grind it, they would bake it. And for those of you who have gone camping and know what fried dough is, it tasted like fried dough baked in oil. If your fried dough doesn't set your mind free, we would sprinkle cinnamon sugar on it sometimes and just a little salt or pepper on it. But you can do it either way. Try to imagine a fresh donut. That's what the stuff tasted like. You go, well, how could they complain? And the answer was, that's all they got. It's all they got. All right? Fortunately, it was good for them, not like other things. But you get the other things that was going on here. And it says this, and then I want you to hear the complaint, because it becomes this false memory. The memory, oh, I was so much better when I was younger. Ah. You know? Life was so much more easy. And I go, you forget how many people didn't like you. How tough it was sometimes just to find people to hang with. Or if you hung with the wrong people, how much trouble you got in. Or how much God has rescued you from the stupidity of what you were or what you did. But these people are caught in this one, and it's food. You ever talk to somebody, oh, I've never had a better steak than? You know, this is the best. They're going back there and they're going, we remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. You kind of go, how shallow. They were slaves in Egypt, threatened, beaten, enslaved totally, and God brings them out, and now they're whining because they don't have the food that they want. Are you whining yet about what you get to eat? They say it's going to get really tough. They say inflation's going to knock your socks off. They say things are going to be shortages like you haven't seen them before. I don't happen to know if they're right or they're wrong, but I'm asking the question, do you understand part of what they were having to deal with? They had an expectation that was here, and the expectation did not get achieved by God. And so they began to bellyache and complain and whine. And so that's the setting. All right? It goes on from there. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance of his tent. They weren't privately wailing. They're going, oh, it's so hard. Isn't life hard? You never know who it's going to be struck down next. Don't you want to all just stand up at your spot and start whining about how hard your life is. Some of you had to go out to the well that you had to dig by hand to get water for lunch. No, we didn't have to do that. Some of you are all, you understand, we have people to worry about. I'm not going to pretend there aren't things bad going on, but I'm not going to pretend that this is going to be an okay thing with God because they go through this. And so they're standing at their doors, whining and crying. And it says this, the Lord became exceedingly angry. And Moses got angry too. But you know who he got angry at? God. Isn't it fascinating? I love when people in the Bible are as big a schmucks as I am. It reassures me that if God can use Moses, he can use me. If God can save a guy like David, God can save me. If God can turn around a man like Paul with the miserable, miserable stuff he did, God can use a man like me or like you or anybody else that we might want to name and fill in the blanks with. So here's the point. Moses heard this wailing. God heard this wailing. They're both angry. And then Moses goes forward and he asks the Lord, I like this. Why have you brought trouble on your servant? What the heck are you doing to me? Right? 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, I get a text from a guy in the hospital. What do you... Oh, you see how easy it would be to complain? So thank God he was willing to text me with his pain, that I could share it with him. How easy it is. You have to understand how you look at a circumstance determines how you're going to respond. What you're doing with the circumstance determines whether you're going to get frustrated, disappointed, and you have to understand, discontentment causes that kind of behavior. I'm not content. Then you read about, I have learned in whatever condition I am in, whether I am rich or poor, sick or, to be content. Because my contentment is not based on stuff. It's not based on things. My contentment is anchored in God, Paul eventually says. But we go back to here. Moses cries out again, that same verse. What have I done to displease you that you put the burdens of all these people on me? How come you picked me? Why in the world do I have to be the one? And you can hear the frustration. You can hear the difficulty. It's like, how come I got to be the mother of this crew? How come I got to be the father and all of it keeps landing on me? How come I have to be the one running this or doing that or feeling this or those kind of emotions? Did I conceive all these people? It just gets really nasty here. All right? Did I give them birth? You know, it's sarcastic. You understand? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms like a nurse carries an infant? Close and hold them all. I don't have enough juice to hold these kids. You know what? What are you doing to me? Doesn't quit. To the land you promised on oath to their fathers. You made the promise. You carry the stinkers. I don't want anything to do with them anymore. They're killing me, all right? He goes on and he says, and then where can I get a meal for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is simply too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, then just kill me. I'd rather just die. Welcome to real life, people. Welcome to real live emotions. Welcome to real live heroes of faith being real. It's not okay to say that, but it is okay before the face of God to be honest with him when you're feeling so bad you wish you could die. All right? One of John's texts and other texts I've gotten like that are almost that kind of weight. I wish I could, I just feel like dying. Just wish I could die. And I go, don't stay there. If God wanted you dead, you'd be dead. So you're outside the will of God praying it. All right? When the Lord wants to take you, he'll take you. And up till that time, pick up, grab yourself by the old bootstraps, like they used to say, and start fighting again. Whatever it is, fighting for your children, fighting for your marriage, fighting for your life, fighting for whatever the situation is, so that you learn to stand in a condition, in a circumstance that God has called you to. If I have found favor with you, then he goes on to finish it off, and don't let me face my own ruin. It's brought out in different translations, but it says, don't let me look like a total fool down here. I'm falling apart. I can't carry it. Just take me now. So he died before everyone knew what a total failure he was. And so we get done with Moses, and the Lord begins to respond to him. And I want you to listen to this now. He selects, bring me 70 men, elders, in the congregation there, men of integrity, men that are faithful, men that love God, men that, bring me 70. And I'm going to commission them. I'm going to give them my spirit. So God is not ignorant of what Moses' cry is all about. He is not ignorant of what it's like to bear up under people, because this complaining mass of people is right here in front of him. Am I wrong or right? Raise your hand if you haven't complained about life and circumstances. Raise your hand if you're not a good whiner. Come on. You are good whiners, aren't you? But God, it hurts. They don't listen to me. It's not the way I wanted it to be. It's turning in directions I didn't want it to go. The desert is too hot. I don't like manna. And you go on and on and on and on. And there's a part of you that empathizes with them. There's a part of you that understands. But God doesn't give you any slack. He says, knock it off. He says, I've brought you. This is where I have you. I have not forsaken you. And this is what you're going to have to learn to fight with, deal with. And I don't want you to walk around complaining. And it wasn't just the complaining that he was upset about. It was ultimately, and you watched come up here a little bit farther, where it says this, a little bit farther on, if only, it's in verse 18, 19, if only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Oh, I wish it was 2017 again. Gas prices were a lot better. Food was so much cheaper. Right? You know, when I was young, I could buy a fish fry at the local stand with 3 pieces of perch for 99 cents. Oh, those were the good old days. Get over your bad self. You understand? Why? You heard me pray. Why, Lord, would you bless any of us one day out of the whole week? Why would you keep us healthy for one more day? What makes you think you're worthy of another day of health? What makes you think that the people in the hospital are under different conditions than you or I are in are somehow worse than you are? What makes you think of any of those things that you somehow go, oh, thank you, God, that I'm not like the person over there who has this or has caught that or is dealing with this? Here's the question instead. Why, God, would you ever do anything nice for me in my life, knowing who and what I am? Knowing the circumstances and my ability to whine and complain and everything else like that. But ultimately, he said, you don't want me for your God, do you? You really have no faith in me. And that ultimately was what he settles on when he talks to Moses. He says, Moses, I told you I will feed them. Not just one day or 2 days. Not 5 or 10. Not 20, but a month. Until it comes out of their noses. And Moses responds, Lord, if we killed all the flocks, the herds, everything we have, there wouldn't be enough food like that to feed them that much meat for a month. And later on, he sends the quail, and the quail pile up miles outside the camp, but they pile up, and they bring as many as 10 and 15 bushels full of dead quail in to cook and dry in all the different ways that they would preserve it, until such a point that they had it coming out of their noses. And God goes, Moses, do you really think my hand is too short? I don't have the strength to do what I told you I'm going to do? So God is working on Moses. But in the middle of this, this is the part I want you to go home with. This is the part I want you to ultimately hear. All right? I will come down, verse 17, speak with you there. I will take the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. And then he goes on from there and all the way to verse 21. You pick it up there with me. Here I am, 600,000. I can't slaughter enough people or enough things to feed these people. Then 23, the Lord answered Moses, is my arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true. So Moses lined the elders all up around the tent of meeting. And then it goes on in verse 25. The Lord came down in a cloud, spoke with him, and he took of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. That's this translation. And that the other translations go, and they continued to do that. So a little bit of a confrontation about that particular phrase. And then it comes up in verse 28, 29. Joshua had heard that people inside the camp had received the Spirit too, and he was jealous. How come they're getting the Spirit? I thought you had to be among the numbered. Spirit was moving in what Joshua felt was in an appropriate way. And he told him, Lord, tell him to stop. Verse 29, but Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. 1 Corinthians 14, the church of Christ, the body of believers today, the Holy Spirit poured out on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit made available to you, not because you're worthy of it, not because I'm worthy of it, but because of God's grace. That's why it's called grace gifting. That's why the Spirit is always given under grace. And in that grace, undeserved mercy and love of God, that is desired to be poured out on you so that you can help carry the genies or the Johns or whoever I have to name myself, or we can help carry the people you've got in your life so that we begin to understand we carry this together. And when you fall down, we pick you up. And when you're worn out, we pick you up. And when you're beating yourself up, we help quiet you and encourage you and bless you. The whole message ultimately was Moses going, Joshua, you don't get it, do you? It's not about you, Josh. It's like me looking at an elder or leader. It's not about you. Pastor, it's not about you. It's about those children in front of you. It's about the congregation that sits there. And the question is, I wish the Spirit of God would be poured out abundantly on each and every one of them, so much so that they could all prophesy, so much so that the gifts would manifest and the power of God would be visible, so that they would be picking up phones and calling people in hospitals, that they would going over to somebody's house, bringing them the meal. They had no one to tell them to do it because the Spirit of God was speaking to their heart. Looking at a young man or a woman or a child and saying, God has told me to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray for the man you'll one day marry or the girl you'll one day marry. And I know it's 5 or 10 or 15 years away, but I'm going to start praying that they would be worthy of you and that you would be blessed. And I'm going to pray for you, little one, as you go to school, or teacher, as you go and deal with the challenges of your life. And you begin to see the body of Christ being the body of Christ. And you begin to see leaders on their knees, and you begin to understand what God has called us to, because here is Moses. He actually did get it. I wish that every one of God's people had the Spirit fulfilled on Pentecost in the sense of everybody in that upper room receiving the Spirit and made available to the whole body of Christ. And so you and I sit here now, and we read those passages in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which says, these things were written down so we would learn not to be as foolish as them, to whine and complain about manna. Well, it shouldn't just be manna. Why not? What makes you think you deserve the steak you're going to have today? Or the hamburger and french fries if you're going out somewhere? What makes you think you deserve that? You step back and you go, Lord, teach me humility. Teach me how to walk in humbleness. Teach me another level of thankfulness so that I start going, thank you, Lord, the faucet turned on. Thank you, Lord, the house is either heated or air conditioned, whatever's needed. My car might start this morning when we go out of church. We might actually have enough money to go to the store and buy some of that expensive food and feed ourselves one more day. And you say, we have to learn this because if we don't learn it from them, we are doomed to repeat the exact same foolishness in our behaviors. God has called us to learn how to master the wilderness of life that we are in. My encouragement to you is not only master it, but to grow through it. Pray with me if you would. Lord God, your people need your strength, your wisdom, your direction, your truth. The wilderness we find ourselves in sometimes feels overwhelming. And yet, Lord, you call us forward to live the day and worry only about the problems of the day, and that you will carry us, and that your promise that your arm is not too short, you are not weak to carry us through and bring us the right person to marry, to bring us the right situation to solve a problem, to bring us the additional money if needed, to put us in a place where we can find the right friend or acquaintances to make a difference, to carry us into a new level of faithfulness, of a walk with you that does not bellyache its way through life, but instead functions without that. So teach us, Lord, to be that kind of people. Teach us the unity of spirit as only you can give it, and let your will be done in our lives. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. As we prepare for communion, you're encouraged. Remember, you can read the information in the bulletin there. We're still honoring that distances as we come up. And as you come forward, please be encouraged to do that. As we consecrate the elements and go forward with that, remember, this is the Lord's meal, not mine. It is Him coming to you, not me. And it is His promise that you trust. And in that, we say the words that He gave for us. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Lord Jesus, why would you step down into our world to give us a portion of yourself and fill us with all power, mercy, grace, and hope, to assure us that every part of our life is watched over by your hand? Come and bless your people in this time. Use us for your glory. We pray it in your name, Lord. Amen.